Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you every Thursday live from 7 p.m. until 8. And during that time, we talk about your business needs. We talk about the impact of COVID and how you should be ready for the new year, even though it was way back in July. We talk about money management, leadership, your health. And today we're going to have a very, very interesting conversation because it's one of those topics that everyone gets touched by at some point. And we have, as always, a very special guest with an expertise in this area, and you won't want to miss what she has to say. So my suggestion is you pass the link out or the phone number to anyone you know who is interested in having a more intimate conversation about life. And we will give you more details when we introduce her. Before I introduce our guest, I never take this journey alone. Lori, my co-host, let them know you're in the house.
Hi, this is Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design. And this is everyone I've been talking to has kind of been trying to figure out how to meet people in the pandemic. So I'm really excited about tonight's guest. So we have Leticia Underwood, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about her business and what it's like running a business, so especially in this time frame. So Leticia, please tell everyone a little bit about you, what you do, and your business.
Well, good evening, Ted and Lori, and thank you for the opportunity of having me on the show this evening. As you said, I'm Leticia Underwood. I am the CEO and founder of Two Hearts Exclusive Matchmaking Services. It is a matchmaking firm that offers matchmaking for successful, high-earning men with values. I also offer date coaching for both men and women who find it difficult to navigating the dating process. I started 7 years ago, and I started basically just matching based off of the interactions I was having with people in a church group that I was in. Invited a couple of people to my home, and some matches started happening. About seven couples, two marriages.
Wow.
And I just decided that maybe I should go ahead and maybe this is my calling and make a business out of it. And I have pretty much grown a very successful business over the past 7 years. So I started out in Ohio, and I am currently based in Orlando, Florida. However, I do offer my services nationally and globally. I am a certified matchmaking where I was certified through the Matchmaking Institute. And it offers a broad network of global matchmakers. So it allows me to assist clients globally and nationally and locally.
Pretty awesome, actually.
It is.
And brilliant.
No question.
I think you've just given me a few ideas. So thank you.
You're welcome.
That's great. So what kind of things, I guess, have come up since, I call it the COVID crazies, because I would imagine that it's a little bit harder. Are you meeting people in person? Are they coming into your office? Are you doing it through Zoom? I have a lot of questions, so I'll let you talk and carry on.
So in the beginning, I noticed when COVID first hit up, when COVID first started to happen, people were very nervous. People were scared. Trepidation had set in. The unknowing had set in. So business basically came to a screeching halt. I mean, just suddenly. 1 week, I was fielding a lot of questions, consultations. And then the following week, I think it was like the second week of March, it was nothing, absolute silence, radio silence. And then once everything started opening back up, I think COVID made people realize how much being alone was not something that they really wanted to engage in. It's different when
right.
you have a life, you're working, you have a social network of friends and family, and you can fill your time with that. But what happened in COVID, you've seen people having to stay, forced to stay home. You couldn't even go to work anymore. So,
right.
you know, not having that social aspect of engaging with anyone and realizing, yeah, being single and being home sucks. So business actually, it's kind of crazy because COVID actually helped the matchmaking industry. I know for myself and a lot of my other matchmaking cohorts, we had to kind of revamp our services to deal with the new climate of social distancing, people not wanting to go out as much, and staying indoors. So the biggest thing that we have going on right now, and I actually love it, is doing everything virtually. So I used to have
right.
clients come into my office, but I had I used to go out and meet up with potential clients, but then I had a COVID scare of my own. One of my clients ended up getting infected. I had just signed him to a contract, and then a week later, I was informed that he was infected. Luckily, my test came back negative. But after that, I realized, you know, it's not worth the risk. So everything is done virtually. So I conduct all my consultations, all of my meetings are done via Zoom. And not only how I handle my clients is done via virtually, but how a client engages a match is also done virtually. So the one thing that COVID has done, while it has slowed down traditional in-person dating, there has been an uptick in virtual dating.
Very interesting. Do you find that clients, I guess, are different on Zoom versus in-person?
Yes. In-person, when I'm sitting there in front of them, doing the consultation or having a meeting with a client, they're less likely to hold back. Being
mm-hmm.
on Zoom, it takes a lot more to get them to be more forthcoming and opening up about certain things. So it is a little different until they get comfortable. And then once they get comfortable, I think it's more of the virtual setting. It's just a little unnerving, you know, not having that face-to-face interaction where you're sitting in front of the person. So once they get comfortable with the technology, then it becomes easier and it's more smooth sailing.
And the couples that you're setting up, do you find that they're lasting, or it's the same, I don't know what you call an attachment rate or the same relationship rate?
Well, my clients that I match up, I'm very exclusive in who I accept into my firm as a client and who I accept in
mm-hmm.
as a member. So each client and member has to be marriage-minded. And
mm-hmm.
I match based off of the compatibility that they would have inside of a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I have clients who end up in long-term relationships and then go off to get married. I have a high success rate of that.
Mm-hmm.
I see it's kind of different because the chemistry and the connections virtually is not there.
Right.
Yes, it's hard to foster that chemistry and that connection. You know, in person, you can smell the person, touch the person.
Mm-hmm.
The virtual element, there's a slight disconnect. There has been a lot of success stories virtually, but not as
mm-hmm.
much pre-COVID.
Right. And do you find it takes them longer to connect because you don't have that, you know, the pheromones, the see, taste, touch option?
It's still the same amount of time for an initial connection. first date to happen, because I send everyone on a first date, a blind first date. So all of my first dates are blind. And they're, and they usually result in a second date. I don't think I've had any that has not resulted in a second date, but usually by the third or fourth date, I think people are getting a little bit tired. You have one who is willing to travel and one who isn't. You know, you have one who is willing to meet somewhere in a restaurant and one who isn't. So that's it's the impatient factor that I think are getting weary with.
So you you know, interesting when you said your first sort of shot with this was inviting seven couples, I think you said, and there were two matches that came out of it.
There were,
while that was, go ahead, keep going.
There were 30 people in the single group. Seven matches.
30 people.
Yeah.
Seven matches out of 30. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Two marriages.
Okay. Got it. Perfect. So that was you bringing people together and sort of letting them kind of flow together. As a matchmaker now, do you have a method to it now, as opposed to just bringing 30 people together in your home? How do you know if people are compatible? Because if you're sending them on a blind date, is this just blindly like, oh, I think these people will look good together, or is there a science to it, or how does that work?
Okay, so even in the beginning, when I would invite people to my home for a little soiree, as I called it, we were all part of the same group. So there was some compatibility there, right? There was some I was looking for compatibility and commonality, while compatibility was at the forefront. And the ones who I thought worthy would be the most compatible is who I invited to my house and introduced, and then let the chips fall where they may. When I actually got into matchmaking, I decided to focus more on ensuring that the compatibility aspect is there rather than relying on luck and organic.
Right.
Because when I first started out doing this for fun, essentially, it was really based on luck and organic chemistry. Whereas now I have a process where my male clients have to fill out a profile and the female members have to fill out a profile. And by the information and the conversations that I'm having between the two, I also have software that has an algorithm that tells me who is a likely match. And I will use that as well as the conversations that I'm having between the men and the women, their profiles, the psychological profiles, their background checks, financial credit checks, financial background, all of that information combined lets me know who is more suited for who.
Wow, that's serious business. So you're not, I mean, credit checks, financial checks, you go through all of that for both men and women?
Well, for the men, you know, part of the reason why I deal with only with men is because it's based on my traditional values that men are the providers, men are the leaders. And one of the aspects that a man has to have is a solid financial background. He has to be able to provide for a family, because if he's looking for a family, I want to make sure that his finances are in order so that I'm not putting a woman in a situation where she is not able to do her job as a wife, which is take care of the household, take care of her children, take care of her husband. Also, I know that finances is one of the biggest reasons for divorce, and I'm trying to prevent my couples from ending up in divorce. So I look at a lot of the elements that could possibly lead to a divorce: alcohol abuse, domestic violence in their background, fraud on either part of whether it's the man or the woman. The only thing that I do not look for with the women is a financial background, because the women are not, the men that I have as clients are not really looking for women who have financial resources. That's not the main criteria for them. But as far as the background check, the psychological evaluations, I do it for both men and women.
Interesting. Lori, I may have taken you off track a little bit, but I sort of wanted to bridge that gap.
No, that's okay. I'm following. And, yeah. So far, so good.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Lori. I know you had a lot of questions.
I did, but that's okay. Now I can't remember. So. It's all right.
Okay. So, go ahead, Lori. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We'll fight over this for a while.
So you do background checks, so you have a pretty good chance that the man and woman are going to have, it's going to be easy for them to see eye to eye. There are lots of things that they will have in common, and from a psychological perspective, I guess you could even say some of their values, like you were saying, your traditional values. So you'll know if a man is looking for a traditional spouse and if a woman is a traditional woman. So you'll know if certain things come together, and you're putting two pieces of a puzzle together, and it's sort of up to them as to whether or not they want to make that stick. Is that a fair way, or am I inaccurately characterizing what you do?
No, you're perfect. You're spot on. I ask all the difficult questions that men and women typically don't ask in the beginning, right? No one wants to ask, well, what are your values, what are your beliefs, how much money do you make? Are you a homemaker? Would you be comfortable staying at home? A lot of things that people are not comfortable asking in the beginning. People tend to allow these things to play out over time, which I feel leads to disgruntled and very difficult breakups, because then people are feeling like they're being misled. So what I do is I ask all the difficult questions, and I pair it on both sides, and all they have to do is show up and make the and see if the chemistry is there. And if the chemistry is there, then voila, magic has been made. Magic has happened. So it's a very...
That's interesting. Go ahead, Lori.
So you're, you know, getting a background and, you know, kind of doing an interviewing. There's personality tests and MMPIs and all sorts of things. Are you doing that, or are you just doing, like, how do you qualify that?
So I initiated Myers-Briggs personality test. Also, there is a psychological evaluation form that they have to fill out, both men and women have to fill out. And I'm also matching based on personalities, make sure that their personalities are compatible, because compatible personalities are essential. I don't think people realize how much you're being able to deal with someone else's personality matters.
Right.
And you know, I have a lot of women who do not like aggressive temperament, and you know, I have to be weary of that. I have to look for that. Also, I have a lot of clients who don't like women who are anxious, very anxious. Although women are, you know, overall emotional, that's just how we are. We think, we make decisions based on our emotions, but anxiousness, prone to agitation, prone to outbursts.
Right.
I have to look for those things. And these are things that my clients don't have to worry about asking for themselves. They're very uncomfortable questions. I can only imagine when I'm sitting there going through the interview, I only imagine how I would feel if a guy is asking me all these things, right? Like, who really wants to sit there and be asked, well, have you ever, on a first date, have you ever been committed to a mental hospital, right?
Right.
Do you have any mental issues or mental health issues in your back? It's very unnerving and uncomfortable for the first few days of getting to know a person. But if you're marriage-minded, these are the questions that you need to ask at the very beginning. That way you don't get 6 months to a year in and you're finding out, oh, this person is schizophrenic. I don't know if I can deal with that. And so now you're stuck with trying to figure out, how are you going to handle this relationship? If you knew in the beginning, then you could have made a decision and a choice of whether or not you're really compatible and if it's something you can deal with. So I look for all the hard things. I look for all the things that could possibly cause two people to not be together, the relationship to implode. And if there is, I like to do a 90%. If there's a 90% chance, more than a 90%, 10% chance of, a 90% chance of they're compatible based off of 90%, then I'll match them. I don't like to go below 90% in the compatibility.
Wow. So you leave nothing up to chance, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have more women come to you or more men?
Well, my clients are men, so I only take on men. As far as the date coaching, I used to see a lot more men, but since COVID, I'm seeing a lot more women.
So,
and then
I just, for my clarification,
I'm sorry.
Right. Go ahead, Lori.
How do you find the women for the men?
Oh, so I usually host singles mingles events where I have a bunch of singles who can't afford matchmaking services or the date coaching services, or just as a promotion event. So I'll get the women to sign up that way. I'll do traditional marketing or, you know, word of mouth. I have women who refer me to their other friends. And so they can go online and sign up.
That's so cool. So how would they find you? Sorry, Ted.
No, go ahead.
So I have a website, www.exclusive.com. And then the women could just go up and sign up to become a member, to be added to the database to get matched with my bachelor clients. And also men can go onto the website and sign up for a consultation. And usually I get my male clients now, you know, traditional marketing, Facebook ads, when they used to allow matchmakers Facebook ads when I first started, they don't allow us to do it anymore. Or just hitting the pavement, marketing myself and going to places where single men frequent and giving out my business card, giving them information about my business. And then it slowly started leading to word of mouth, referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly receive business based off of referrals.
Very cool.
So,
what's your criteria?
As a guy,
go ahead, Ted. I'm taking over. Go ahead, Ted.
I was just gonna say, as a guy, you could end up going out with, you know, 20 women in the course of 12 months, and you know they're dates, and the guy either doesn't want to go any further, or the woman doesn't. But for a guy, that can be expensive. So. And in terms of time, so you said successful men. So if the guy is successful, he may not even have time to meet 20 different women to date. So is that sort of your value proposition, is that you're shortening, you're kind of folding time and space for the guy. So he doesn't have to go out and meet all these women when he doesn't have time for it, especially if he has a job where he travels. And he's also eliminating some of the, I guess, people call headaches or discomfort of going on a date that's going nowhere. So you're eliminating all of that stuff for men.
Yes, it's mostly the they don't have a problem going out and meeting women. It's just the cesspool of dating, wading through that. Not for sure if she's really wanting to anything serious, if she's just trying to play him. So with a matchmaker, with my business, you know for sure that the woman that you're taking out to dinner or on it or any date really, that she's serious. She's potentially serious about you, and it's just a matter of seeing if you two actually. So yeah, essentially it's removing that headache, the nail in the forehead that when you know you're dating and then 20 women tired after a while and meeting 20 women and just finding out that you're not meeting quality of women that you like. Whereas a matchmaker's database, these women are carefully curated and vetted on being quality women. So you know what you essentially know what you're getting. At least my firm with my what men want, what they desire, what my clients want, and I match my database to meet. I create my database to meet my clients' needs.
Do you ever turn women down? Or
yes, I do have to turn a significant amount of women down.
Wow.
Unfortunately,
what would be some of the reasons you would turn them down for?
They don't meet the criteria aesthetically. My clients are looking for women who are very attractive and physically fit. They don't meet the criteria personality-wise. I go through the interview and they're just not properly conducting themselves, or I just don't think fit personality-wise. Or they don't even make it past the application portion to get an interview because they don't meet the one factor, whereas they're not traditional. So when you submit your application online, those questions have to be answered. And if you don't fill out the application in its entirety, it's an automatic rejection.
Didn't follow instructions. Huh?
Oh, go ahead,
Todd. No, I just said didn't follow instructions and you're eliminated, right? Wow.
And that's
go ahead,
very
Lord.
And that's very telling right there. That's the first test that I put forth, and you'd be amazed at how many women fail that one test. Your inability to follow instructions lets me know that you may have difficulty in a relationship. Being cooperative, being a teammate, being a partner.
Well, that explains my problem. So, sorry, that was funny. So what are like fees involved? Because obviously it's a business, right? And have clearly thought this out. You put a lot of time and effort. You have psychological profiles, you have testing, you have every possible, I don't know what you call it, quantifying equation, right, adding up. So, and you're not just doing this for fun. So if I was a guy, which some days I wish I was, and I was looking for a partner, what would the fees on this be?
Well, I don't really discuss my initial fee, but to the consultation, it is $500.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say my base price, that's for my most basic package, and that's for a minimum of 4 dates per month. So you get 1 date a week for the length of the contract, but you're guaranteed 4 dates within a month. And that starts off at $5,000.
That's not bad. For a lifetime of happiness? A divorce costs much more than that.
I was in that trying to avoid a divorce, right? So, I do what I do. Like a lot goes into running a business, you know? So you have to, I get a lot of complaints about the price sometimes. But it's not just about profit. It's about the cost of business and running a business.
Right.
And, you know, you have overhead, you know, marketing is a huge part of my budget, you know, I have to account for those things. So, and then,
right.
you know, I have to put the time and effort, and I can spend a lot of time trying to research or engaging with the client, because after the 2-hour consultation, once you sign a contract with me, I'm basically all yours. You know, I have clients who basically contact me almost, at first they were contacting me all hours of the day and night. I had a client calling me at 3:00 in the morning because he was anxious that his date was not going to show up. And I'm trying to convince him, like, no, she's going to be there. Don't worry. He's like, no, I've had women, you know, not show up on me. They stand me up. And I'm like, well, this is a different situation, different scenario. It's going to be okay. So I had to hone back and say, you know what? Within office hours, I'm all yours. So I can get caught up with a client for hours trying to walk them through the process. Because some of my clients need that extra help. So not only do I offer matchmaking, but I offer date planning and date coaching along with my matchmaking services plan. So date coaching would be someone who is not used to going on dates, someone who has a difficult time talking to women on a date, someone mm-hmm. who needs with style, someone who needs help with trying to figure out what's the appropriate opening line. And then now I've gotten to the point where I'm helping people with COVID. I'm helping people with online dating. So I moved mm-hmm. into that because with COVID, it's easier to meet someone online than it is to meet someone face-to-face because no one is out. But the thing about
right.
online dating is there's no vetting.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vetting. You don't know what red flags to look for. You don't know you need help with your profile. Or what signs to look for to reject a certain profile. So that has been a huge part of my business that's been up recently since with COVID. It's helping people with online dating.
Interesting. Very interesting. So you've been doing this for how long, you said?
I've been matchmaking for 7 years.
Wow. Kudos to you. So you're like the millionaire matchmaker. We turn the TV on.
I wish. I am trying to get on Patty Sanger's level, but she and I have an interesting connection, and that's through the accrediting institute for matchmakers that I went through, which is the Matchmaking Institute. So she went through that institute as well. And she does consultation for that institute.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I want to be her, too.
So is this your first business that you've run before, Letitia?
Yes, this is my first for-profit business. So I first got bit by the entrepreneurial bug because I've always managed everyone else's businesses since I was 19. Started with my second job. I was always in a management position. And so I just always thought that was my calling I don't really want the responsibility of having my own business because I see how much goes into it and I don't know if I can handle that much responsibility, but I am great at managing other people's businesses. It wasn't until 2017 I was battling cancer, and it was 2014, because I started in 2013 in church, and then 2014 is when I decided to I went into business part-time, and I started matchmaking part-time, and I had a job on the side, because I just did not know if it's something that I could do. Having your own business is a lot of responsibility. You're responsible for everything. Everything falls on you. So I had to keep my plan B just in case it didn't work out. But I was battling cancer. I found that I had cancer a few years later, going through that battle, and I needed time off from my main job. and they gave it to me, but then they rescinded it and instead decided that they were going to terminate my position. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, wait a minute, what am I going to do? You know, I need to find another job. While matchmaking is making money, it's just not enough because I'm only doing it part-time. And then that's when it hit me, like, why am I doing this part-time? Why can't I do this full-time? And I realized that I was just scared. I was just scared to just let go and let God and just do it. And so I just decided that that was something that I just really was going to do, was to do it full-time. And it's worked out for the best, and it's not a decision that I would change for the world.
Well, that's quite a journey. There's a lot going on. And interesting that you went from sort of doing it for fun, more like a hobby, to a business. I mean, what was that journey like? So having people over to your house and sort of letting people just figure it out on their own to now you are kind of, you're fully vested in each of your clients and making sure it's the best match. So that must have been a journey for you in learning and the responsibility as an entrepreneur. What was that, from hobby to a profession?
Oh my gosh, it was scary. It was scary. There were times where, you know, you're unsure. Can you do this? The self-doubt kicks in. The insecurities happen. But it was just something that I knew that I feel like it was meant to be. I feel like this was my calling. I always knew that there was something that I was supposed to be doing in life, and it revolved around helping people. I just thought it was going to be in a different way, and so I tried different things to bring that about, and none of those things worked out. But this is the one thing that stuck, and that I became just very passionate about and very good at. And so it went from being a hobby to where it's like, okay, I'm this high society lady throwing these parties where these great people are meeting and they're matching and, you know, just having fun with it, to where it was like, out of necessity, I needed to make this into a business. And so I just took the leap of faith and I done it and haven't looked back.
Interesting. And Facebook was a place for you to generate, I guess, new leads. And now they no longer allow matchmaking. That's odd. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter. Do you have any idea why that's the case?
Well, because, yes. So I started, when I first started as a business, I was able to generate leads through Facebook by posting ads. And then something within the last 2 years where they know coaching or matchmakers to ads on their platform without meeting very stringent criteria and meeting all of that criteria, sitting in the application time approved. It turns out that Facebook has its own dating platform with that platform. So they're eliminating the competition. How some matchmaking service have been able to get around that, because you will see some ads. I see a lot of ads pop up because of my association with, on my personal page, because of my business page. I see some dating sites pop up, and that's because with matchmaking or dating in your name, they will not approve you. And the reason why they won't approve you is because they're trying to eliminate the competition for their own dating within their platform.
Interesting. Okay. Very interesting.
Very much so.
I assume you enjoy what you enjoy what you're doing then.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And then I decided to, you know, for things to be even better, to get out of the cold weather in Ohio and move to sunny Florida. And it's beautiful down here. And it's even, helped more so with my business. So while it was more of a personal move, it became a great business move to where I moved to a bigger market, and the people are more receptive here to using a matchmaker than in the Midwest, in Ohio.
No kidding. So with COVID, how does that affect you? I mean, so I heard you speak of using Zoom or online meetings. So instead of having, are you saying instead of having 30 people come to your home, you invite 30 people to be on Zoom and they interact, you know, maybe I'm being facetious, but how does that work?
No, I no longer have those. I do still have my singles events. Well, no, I don't have any singles mingles events. I used to have those one event once a month. Due to COVID, I no longer have those. Where I have been successful in this COVID is by helping people with their online dating. Online dating has become during COVID because you can't go out and meet someone really organically like you used to be before, and people are finding they're having a difficult time even meeting someone online. So I, you know, crafted my marketing to where now I'm targeting people who are huge in, who are really more susceptible to use online dating platforms. On Facebook, I joined a lot of singles groups. And in joining those groups, I, you know, figure out who's into online dating, if they're willing to maybe be interested in a matchmaker, and just go from there.
Okay, so virtual networking, basically. So instead of going into a room of people, an event that's networking, you go into a room that's cordoned off as a group for dating.
Correct.
I'm saying that correctly. Okay. Interesting how the internet is still real estate in some way. You go to a room.
Yeah.
Virtual.
Very interesting to put it that way, Ted.
So, Lori, if you were a man, you would be looking for a woman who met your criteria, and you wouldn't have to do an interrogation over dinner.
That's right. That would be great. Just to have all of those details already picked out for me would be perfect.
Well, it's not even just great for men, it's great for women too. That's why they sign up for these databases. Because you have, even though I am really matching for the guy and I'm trying to find a woman who is compatible for him, but she also knows that she doesn't have to ask all these details either. Because I am.
It's mutually beneficial.
Right.
And it rules out the lying.
Right, because I'm trying to figure out what the deal breakers are. I've already asked what the deal breakers are. What are your most important qualities, attributes? What's more important to you? Do you want kids? Do you don't want kids? You'd be amazed at how many people don't ask that question, don't try to figure out that question early on.
Right.
They get into relationships.
You're told not to. I mean, you know, usually you're told you don't bring that up on the first date. You're going to scare the person, you know, so then it waits. You're already in a committed relationship, and now all of a sudden you want kids and the other person doesn't, and you're like, well, what do we do with that?
Right.
Right.
Right. Like marriage, you know, we're told not to bring a marriage on the first date, whereas you already know that that's already on the table. Both parties know that marriage, this is going to, if it works out, it's going to lead to marriage because both parties want marriage. So I've already vetted according to them. So there's a lot of things we're told not to bring up on first dates, especially women.
Mm-hmm.
To bring up. And that was a big purpose. I think a lot of my clients like that. they like the amount of questions that I'm asking, all of the questions that I'm asking, because I do let them know that, yes, this is what I'm asking women. I'm asking women according to what your requirements are. And they like that. That is like the biggest selling point, that all they have to do is show up on the date, because all of their, everything that they would want to ask to qualify the person, they already know.
It's been done.
You can have the superficial conversation, right? The superficial conversation about colors, weather, and then just enjoy yourself and have fun. It removes
right.
that anxious layer of, do this person want the same things as I want? Do this person want a relationship? What does this person want? You know, because it's nerve-wracking to be on a first date, and if you're really, truly interested in a long-term commitment or marriage, those are the things that you're going to think about. And sometimes it can be so overwhelming that it can cause you to miss out on just enjoying the date.
Exactly. Yep.
So what's counterintuitive, or maybe it's not, so maybe I should understand. So generally in most places there are slightly more women than men. So technically the dating pool should be more beneficial to men since there are more women than men. So I'm surprised that your clients are men. Or is it that men come to you more? Like your database, are you just getting significantly more men who come to you, or is it more women? I want to understand, why aren't your clients women? That would seem logical.
My clients are women because of my traditional values. I don't believe that women should find husbands. I believe men find wives.
Okay.
So.
Interesting concept. I think you're 100% right. That's probably why you've had such a high success rate.
Most women
don't come from that perspective.
Yeah, so it's been very beneficial to, because when men are the one who are, I find that when men are the ones who are leading in the process, and their leadership starts with finding a wife, that there is a higher significant chance of a long-term outcome.
Right.
So are there dating?
Men are easier to deal with than women. Their requirements are not as nitpicky as women are. Men pretty much know what they want. And a lot of women think they know what they want, but it's like once they get it, you put it in front of them, they'll find a way to nitpick it. So for my peace of mind, I just decided it was just easier. That was a byproduct. I just realized, like, yeah, I can't work with women as far as finding them female clients. There are a lot of makers who do. I think I'm the only matchmaker in my network that deals strictly with men as clients.
Interesting, really?
Yes.
So there are other matchmakers who deal exclusively with women, or they have clients of both genders?
There are matchmakers who deal with exclusively. They matchmake exclusively for women. Or they have a mixture of both men and women.
Interesting.
Yeah, they say the best marketing is picking your niche, right? So, I mean, you've really narrowed down your niche to a substantial piece.
Yeah, very, 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 very small is what I was told. I was like, there is no room there. There's no give. But I did that purposely because I feel as I knew the smaller I made my niche, the more cohesive I made it, the more successful I could be. So they have to. So it's a man. They have to be man, full earner, marriage minded, traditional values.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're
pretty narrowed down.
Yeah, they're much easier to work with.
Okay.
Right. And if you're a woman, all you have to do is follow instructions to get to the next step.
That's the first test, is to follow the instructions and fill out the entire application. And not just put one picture, but two pictures, two. a shot from the torso up, and then a full body shot, and no filters. And sometimes they're rejected right off there because they'll put one picture in and not two, or they'll put two pictures from the face up, just of their face. So,
right. Yeah,
there's a lot of things that cause that if you do not follow the instructions specifically, your application will be rejected.
Right. You will not pass go at any point.
Correct. And that collects $100. Or I should say, you cannot collect your husband, your future husband. You will not get
right.
So do women get upset with you and say, hey, you're a woman, you should understand? I mean, you almost sound like a guy in some ways, like kind of cut and dry.
Wait, what? No. Not when it comes to my matchmaking services, not necessarily get upset. I send out a rejection letter to inform someone that they have been rejected. And, you know, I'll get a reply back. Oh, I didn't realize that I didn't realize that I didn't fill it all the way out. Or I didn't feel comfortable putting in this information, that information. And I just explained to them, unfortunately, that's the first step, that's the first test. And your inability to follow directions, holding back information, that's a red flag. So you're not a fit for them. Usually in there, it's usually... if I have to reject them based on the basis of attraction, I will get some pushback, but not to the point where it's like outside of different other social areas where there are social platforms or something when I'm giving an interview about dating. Not too much, not too crazy, no. Not after, from a rejection of not being able to be put in a database, no.
Wow. And the women don't ever get upset with you. They don't ask for a second chance, or they'll do it better.
They'll ask for a second chance. What can they do to remedy the situation? And then I would explain to them that that was part of the process. That's technically part of the interview process. I need to know if you're capable of following instructions, because that will tell me how you engage in a relationship. And your inability to do so leads me to believe that you are not traditional minded. And my clients are only interested in traditional minded women. Now, the biggest red flag is when you don't feel comfortable with information. That means you're trying to hide something or you have trust issues. And no person wants to be in a relationship where they're feeling like they have to pay for what someone else has done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're putting in with the I don't trust you, you don't know I'm a professional. Why aren't you trusting me? I'm not trying to scam you. You came to me, right? I'm not trying to scam you. You can just Google me and see that I'm actually also on a BBB. So it's not a scam. If you're that concerned, then you really don't need to sign up for the services. And not only are you, but you're running it with me, I can only imagine what you're going to withhold once we get to the interview process. And not only with me, but what you're going to eventually withhold from my client. What are you possibly withholding that can come out later that I may have not been able to catch? So that's a red flag that a lot of people don't think about. It's these small, minute details that a lot of people do not think about. So inability to follow directions, that just means that you're probably not cooperative. And a lot of that's the biggest attribute my clients are looking for, is a woman who is going to be cooperative. So you've canceled yourself, eliminate yourself right there.
So the guys must be really happy. I mean, well, do you tell men how stringent your interview or your process is for women to qualify?
Yes.
Okay.
For the process that I have, the intake process, the process that I have for women. And there, I think that's the biggest selling point right there, is that I'm very,
right.
very selective. So they know that I am really working hard to give them what they truly what they desire. And it's not going to be difficult.
And so do women ever tell you, well, I have a great personality. You should accept me on that basis.
Yes, I've had a few. And I had to tell them, you know, I'm not matching you based on your personality. That's not how matchmaking works. That's not how my matchmaking works.
It's part of it, I assume.
It's part of it, but it's not solely your personality.
Okay.
You just having a nice personality, you haven't said it. You failed the first test, so it doesn't even matter. I don't care. But in my mind, I'm looking at it like you felt the first. So at this point, it's no concern to me.
Okay.
I've sent you the rejection letter. I've given you the reasons why maybe you're a better fit for another matchmaking firm.
So we're closing in on time. What in like 60 seconds? What advice would you have for anyone looking for love in COVID? This is a whole new thing for none of us have been through this, so you've probably seen more than all of us.
I would say take advantage of the new way of engaging people, which is virtual. So you can set up a virtual date. If it's the first date, you don't know the person, you can call in to their favorite restaurant, pay for all the phone, have it delivered. Well, not you can't have it delivered. They can go and pick it up, or they can call into the restaurant and give their address details. You know, restaurants will be willing to work with you when you let them know it's a special occasion. And then you plan your movie, you know, movie night, card games.
wow.
And you can do it all virtually. You know, read a book.
Wow.
And discuss the book. You'd be amazed at how many creative ideas you can come up with. I think it was Common and the actress, comedian, oh my gosh, I can't think of her name. They was virtual, and they had a dinner date, and he had dinner delivered to her house, and roses, some flowers, and they were on Zoom together, and sitting there as if they were, you know, she had a little table set up with the candles and everything. You know, ladies, get creative. You know, don't just sit there, slouch with your pajamas on, bonnet on your head, hair rollers. Guys, don't just sit there with a rumpled T-shirt. Put best foot forward. Be impressive for the first day. But creative of how we get on and is virtual.
Okay. Perfect. So tell everyone how they can find you again.
You can heartsexclusive.com, and that is two spelled P. You can find me on Facebook at Two Hearts Exclusive or PAEMMS. You can also find me on Instagram, Two Hearts with the number two exclusive. And you can also find me on YouTube where I give dating tips and advice, discuss relationships. And the name of my YouTube channel is Two Hearts Exclusive. Look out for the discussions. Subscribe so you can listen in or catch the videos discussions with the matchmaker.
Perfect. Thank you. Lori, you want to take us out? Last words?
Sure. Thank you, Leticia. It's been a pleasure. And I highly suggest if you're single and a male,
Google T-shirt call. And if you're a female, you should attend one of her singles events, but fill out the paperwork accurately. We definitely appreciate your coming on board. And, you know, good luck in COVID, right? And we'll see everyone next week. Thank you all so much.
Okay. Have a good
have
evening,
a great
everyone.
Night.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Thank you, Letitia.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
You too. Bye-bye.